from Matthew chapter 25,
verses 6 through 13. Matthew chapter 25, verses 6 through 13. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Surely I said to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming."
Did you notice the statement in that passage that says, "And the door was shut"? There are a few things in life that are more frustrating than to want to go in a door and not be able to enter it. A few years ago, I was in a gospel meeting in a certain town, and the preacher and I passed this little building, and I noticed something unusual about the door. There was a door there, but there was no knob on the outside. And I mentioned it to the preacher, and I said, "That's an unusual door. I've never seen one just like that. There's a door, it seems. There's a frame. There's a door inside the frame, and there are hinges on the door, but there's no knob on the outside." And he said, "No, that is a meeting place of a rather elite secret club. And the only way that anybody can get into that club is to give the password to someone who is standing on the inside of that door. And then that person on the inside of the door will open the door from the inside, and the person on the outside can enter in." For several times, as I've read certain passages in the Word of God, that I have thought of that door. Because there are some doors described in the Bible where there is no knob on the outside. Tonight I want us to think of three of those. Three extremely important doors. And neither one of them has a knob on the outside. In neither case can you just walk up and turn the knob and open the door and go in. It doesn't work that way. Each of these doors has to be opened from the inside. The first one that I suggest to you tonight is the door to heaven. Of all the thoughts that I've ever had and all the desires that I've ever considered, I want to go to heaven more than anything else. And I'm pretty sure if you thought about it that you would agree with me completely tonight on that statement. In fact, if I miss heaven, nothing else really matters. If I'm unable to live with God in the eternity, it won't make much difference what happens on April the 9th, 2000, or the 8th, or the 10th, or whatever day it is. Because going to heaven is what it's all about. And that means more than anything else. I've seen a lot of people that I did not appreciate for who they were and what they did. I've seen a lot of people that I did not understand. But I think I can honestly say to you tonight that I have never seen a person, but that I wish that person would be able to go to heaven. That's what our work is about. That's what we're trying to do, is to go to heaven and take as many people with us as we can. But folks, as much as we want to go to heaven, we need to understand the fact that the door to heaven does not have a knob on the outside. It can only be opened from the inside. You're very familiar with the story, a part of which Shannon read a few minutes ago. You know about the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. You know how that when the bridegroom came, those that were wise and prepared were ready to go with him. And you know, as he read in the part that he read, that the door was shut. Oh, what a powerful statement. The door was shut. And these foolish virgins began to beg and ask, open the door, let us in. And he said, I can't. I don't know you. Or at least I won't. I will not. I do not know who you are. Can you think of anything that would be any worse than to come to the day of judgment with the beginning of the eternity in heaven and hearing the words that those five heard? Open the door, let me in. Open the door, let me in. No, the door is shut, and I don't know you. You're not such as ought to be inside, and I'm not going to let you in. I think, folks, we have allowed ourselves to come to believe that almost anybody is going to heaven. If you visit the cemeteries and read what's on the tombstones, even sometimes knowing the kind of life that was lived by the person who is buried there, you'll see something said about a sleeping Jesus. And it just seems that somehow or other we're selling ourselves a line that it doesn't make any difference who we are. Somehow or other, we're all going to heaven. I have shared with you before, but I do again tonight, the results of a survey that was taken in the city of New York by a man back some time ago when he decided he would go outside and ask the first 100 people that he met, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And I believe it was either 94 or 95 of the first 100 people that he met on the street in New York City who said that if they died that day, they would go to heaven. And yet that's not what the Bible suggests to us. God is the one who is in authority. He is the one who is going to determine who is in heaven and who is not. You and I are not just going to walk up to the judgment scene and say, God, here I am, open the door, I'm going in. It doesn't work that way because God is the one who is in authority. Two times in the story of the talents that follows in Matthew 25, he said to those who had successfully used the talents, enter into the joys of the Lord. And yet the idea of cast him out is mentioned in connection with the one talent man. And then in the story of the judgment where there's a separation between the sheep and the goats later on in Matthew 25, in connection with those who had done what God wanted them to do, it says, he will say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But then to those who are on the other side, he will say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God is the one who's going to open the door to heaven. Nobody else has the authority to do so. Nobody else has the record to know how to open it and who should go into heaven to live with him for an eternity. And we are clearly told that there are some people that are just not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. The one who is not born of water and the Spirit, John 3:3-5, shall not inherit the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 lists 10 different types of sin. He says, know you not that as long as a person continues in these, he shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. He's not going to be able to go into heaven. In Revelation, the 21st chapter and verse 27, after identifying in verse 8 the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, he comes down to verse 27, mentions several different people, including those who love and make a lie, and he says, they shall in no wise enter in. Somehow or other, we've got to get away from this idea that we're just going to walk up to heaven and say, God, open the door, or maybe just walk up and there's going to be a knob there and I'll just open the door and go in myself and make myself at home. That's not the way it works. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 7:21-23 that there will be some people who have even cast out devils in his name and prophesied in his name and done what they call wonderful works in his name. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. People maybe who are sincere, but they've not obeyed the gospel. They've not done what God expects them to do. The ones that are going to enter into the city, according to the last chapter of the last book in the Bible, Revelation, 14th verse of that chapter says, those that have kept his commandments will enter in. Those who have obeyed his word, those who are ready. In fact, when you analyze all that's said in these passages and others about the subject, not taking into consideration those who lived under the patriarchal law and the Mosaic law and those who die in the innocence of childhood, the only ones that are going into heaven are those who are in Christ in his body. He is the head of the church and the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5:23, and it's that body that he's going to present to his Father. It's that body that's called the kingdom in 1 Corinthians 15:23 and 24 that he's going to deliver up to his Father. And so in order for us to be able to get God to open the door to heaven from the inside and let us in, we who are old enough to be accountable can only be ready for that if we are in the body of Jesus Christ, the church. And if we're not in the New Testament church, the body of Jesus Christ, and related to him as the head and as our Savior, we will not be ready when we come to the day of judgment for God to open that door. Sometimes it's hard for us to think of that side of God, especially when we emphasize his great love and grace and mercy toward us. Somehow or other, I think we've sold ourselves a bill of goods that God no way is going to turn anybody away who wants to be in. But I would remind you that in the passage of our text tonight, those five virgins were begging, "Open the door to us, let us in." And he said, "No, you can't come in because you weren't ready. I don't know you. You're not the ones that were prepared, and therefore you cannot open that door." And they could beg and beg and beg and try and try and try, and they could not open that door from the outside, because, folks, the door to heaven can only be opened from the inside. And that's why, if we're interested in walking on that street of gold and enjoying all those blessings that are there and how beautiful heaven must be, that we must be ready to serve God and do what God wants us to do. If that door that I was talking about to that private club was opened only when there was the right password, then you and I need the right password. And I think in a sense that's summed up in the word obedience, in order to be able to live with God in heaven when this life is over. Heaven is a wonderful place. I want to go there and you want to go there. But God is the one who's going to open that door. You and I will never be able to open it from the outside. But as we said a moment ago, those of us that are in the body of Jesus Christ, having him as our head and as our Savior, living for him, have every reason to live in such a way that we have hope, we have faith in God that he will open that door for us and we can live with him in heaven. That brings on a second idea, and that's the church. Folks, the door to the church does not have a knob on the outside. Oh, we live in a society where people talk so much about joining a religious institution and seem to present the idea that I'll do what I want to, and when I've done this, I'm going to go up and I'll go in and I'll open the door and I'll go into this religious institution. But that's not the way the church works. That's not the way entrance into the church works. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 9, "I am the door." It indicates in that context that if we're going into the right relationship with God, we've got to go through Christ. Christ is the door. And the idea there is that Christ is the one who has the authority to deal with that door. And I think you and I know, if we'll just remember, that Acts 2:47 says, "The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved." He's the one who opens the door. We don't walk in ourselves. We don't vote each other in. We don't join something. We do whatever is necessary for the Lord to open that door and add us to his body and to his church. Now, God wants every one of us to be in the right relationship with Christ. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We're told by the Apostle Peter, God wants every one of us to be saved. He wants every one of us to be in Christ. That's the reason he sent Christ, folks. That's the reason Christ died. That's the reason he purchased the church with his own blood, that we might be able to be in it and to be a part of Jesus Christ and therefore be ready for that door of heaven when we get there. But again, I emphasize to you that God is the one who has the right to open that door. In Acts 5:14, there were many that were being added to the Lord, added to the church, but they weren't doing it themselves. It was being done just like Acts 2:47 says. The Lord was doing the adding. He is the one who adds to the record. He is the one who can delete from the record, Revelation 3 and verse 5. He is the doorkeeper. He is the one who is in charge of the door. Now, I do believe that you and I can know whether or not we're Christians if we'll turn to the Word and read it. But, folks, we need to know based upon what God has told us and what He tells us is necessary to get into the right relationship with Christ and into the church. There may be times that you think we emphasize the subject of baptism too much. I've been told by people down through the years that we place too much emphasis on that. If we are right that baptism is the door into the church, we cannot place too much emphasis upon it. You've heard me say many times before, and so say I again, that the builder of any building has the right to put the door where he wants it. And since the Lord is the one who opens that door and is the doorkeeper and takes care of it, He is the one who has the right to identify where it is and what it is and how we deal with it. And there is convincing evidence throughout the New Testament that when a penitent believer confesses the name of Jesus Christ and then is buried with his Lord in baptism, that at that moment, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses him from his sin. He is added to Christ, to his death, and to his body. Galatians 3:27, Romans 6:3, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. The Lord is the one who controls the door into the church. And nobody has gone into that door unless we have obeyed the gospel in the right way. After talking about the plan of salvation, being baptized into Christ and into his death, buried with him in Romans 6, 3, 4, and 5. He comes down to verse 16 and says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness?" Catch this verse. "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Folks, the Bible is just as clear as it can be. We must be in Christ and his body in order to have God open the door to heaven for us. But we must do what God has told us to do in order for Christ to open the door for us, that we can be in him and in his body. That door does not have a knob on the outside. There is no way that you can just by your own force open the door into the church. It's opened from the inside. When you, when I, when anyone has done what God has told us to do to be added to Christ and to his church. And that's why it's so important that each one of us have the right attitude toward God, and that brings up the third door. And it's a door that you can open, but it has to be opened from the inside. I have reference to the door of your heart. Gary did an excellent job in selecting the songs tonight. Let him in, let the Savior in. That's based upon Revelation 3:20. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. I'm convinced that the door in that passage is the heart of man. Jesus was talking about why he taught in parables over in the 13th chapter of Matthew. And after he'd said some other things, he came down to verse 15 and he says, "This people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and be converted." And that's another way of saying open up their heart. And he says, "I should heal them." God is capable of doing anything that he wants to do. But according to his teaching, he will not force himself into the heart of any man. He would be capable of doing that if he wanted to. He would be capable of striking you down and telling you exactly what you're going to do and make you do it, but he chose not to. He chose to make you and me and every human being with the ability to make a choice. And he made us in such a way that there is a door of the heart. And I'm not talking about the physical blood pump. I'm talking about that with which man thinks and understands and loves and trusts and has the willpower. I'm talking about that side of man, which has to do with really one's mind and one's thinking ability and one's emotional side. He made you and me in such a way that each one of us can make decisions, and he will not. He could if he wanted to, but he has chosen not to, and he will not force himself into your heart. Your heart can only be opened from the inside. God will not, and I cannot. There is no way that I can force you to believe anything. There is no way you can force me to believe anything. Oh, we're to teach and admonish. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:11, we're even to persuade one another. And I think we ought not to apologize for persuading people to be Christians. It may be there are times, some have said there are times when we overly persuade. But I'm not for sure when we're dealing with the difference between salvation and being lost eternally that we can overly persuade. We need to persuade. We need to do everything we can to get people to obey the gospel. But what we're trying to do is to get you to open your heart from the inside. I do not have the ability to do that. And you do not have the ability to do that for someone else. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Perhaps this is a lesson for another time, but we need to realize the closeness of Jesus to that door, his nearness, and we need to realize his desire and what he wants. But tonight, that's not the point that we're emphasizing so much. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will turn that knob on the inside and open up his heart to me, he says, I'll come in. According to Galatians 2:20, he'll come into one's life and live in him, and that person live in Jesus. That's where Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Jesus says, I'll come in and live in you and with you if you will open your heart from the inside. There is no other way for it to be opened. Matthew 25:10 particularly says, the door to heaven is shut and can only be opened from the inside. John 10 and verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. He's the door to the church. It can only be opened from the inside. And Revelation 3:20 says, the door to the heart is such that Jesus will not force himself in, and we cannot. It can only be opened from the inside. And I don't know whether you've thought about it tonight or not, but these three doors are related. If you will open the door to your heart, and through obedience let Jesus come into your life, then he will open the door to the church and add you to the church so that then you will be ready for the door to heaven to be open and let you into the eternity to live with God forever. That's sort of simple. And yet it's a bit profound. The door to your heart has to be opened from the inside. The door to the church has to be opened from the inside. The door to heaven has to be opened from the inside. And again, I emphasize to you that more than anything else, I want to go to heaven. And I think you do too. If you are not in a prepared state like the five wise virgins, but rather you are unprepared like the five foolish ones, don't you see that if you were to walk up to the door of heaven tonight, it would be shut to you? That's why you need to be in Christ and in his body. And if you're not in Christ and in his body, don't you see that that door is shut until you, by your actions, ask God to open it and add you to his body? If you'll believe, repent, confess, be buried with him in baptism, he will open that door and add you to his body and let you live in that church to be ready for the door to be opened into heaven. But it all comes right back down to the door to your heart. Is it open? Jesus says, let me come in. Open the door. I'll come in and sup with you, and I'll live with you, in other words, you and me. But he says, you've got to open that door.
Folks, I don't apologize tonight for asking each of you to think so seriously about the door to your heart. Have you opened your heart to God? If you have not, you need to open that door tonight so that Christ will open the door to the church and God will be ready to open the door into heaven. It all comes back to you and your heart. Are you ready to open that door for Christ if you're not already a Christian? Think about it seriously as together we stand and sing.